Astronomical Dave Ranicki, he knows everything that's happening in the heavens. How are you, sir?
Reporting in again, Sarge. How are you?
I am awesome. And are you getting over your pneumonia? You're okay?
Yeah, look, yeah, in the left lung, it wasn't good. Anyone who's had pneumonia will understand that I'm not a good patient at the best of times, but this was just a too much. No, I'm fine. I was just coughing and couldn't sleep, but all well and good now. The wonders of modern medicine.
We love it, and that's why they do space research, to continue that research into making medicines better here on Earth.
Do you know what? We're using over 1,000 things in our everyday life that are a spin-off from the space program.
Never
and I hear
it.
A lot of people say, well, tell me some of them. Okay, one of them is miniature cameras to look inside the human body. They had to miniaturize things for the Mariner programs to Mars, so little cameras to fit into spacecraft. And also the new purification system they're using on the International Space Station. They're actually turning washing water, grey water, back into drinking water. And just recently, they've upgraded this thing, and they're turning human urine into drinking water.
Now, funny, talking about urine, they say soaking your feet in urine can be good for blisters, apparently.
I want to try that one.
or rubbing it over your face actually works with...
No, I've got other ways of fixing that up. But look, it's true that any criticism you hear, anytime anyone says, look, they should be spending money here than on the space program and shooting rockets into space, just tell them you wouldn't have your iPhone if you didn't do that. You wouldn't be able to, you guys in radio wouldn't be able to do crosses across the world and talk to people. We wouldn't have so many things we've got now. And, of course, the big answer to that question, the good one, is that for every $1 spent on the American space program, it's returning $7 to $10 back to the economy.
They said the first moonwalk was done with the power of something less than our mobile phone. So.
The computers on board Apollo 11, when it landed on the moon, the module, the lander, the Eagle, the computer power on that was... The hard drive was rated at 74
kb. Oh, wow.
KB. That's about one image that I use on a Word document. No wonder the computers failed when they were going down. They couldn't handle the extra workload. So what Armstrong did, he said, look, I turned everything off. Everything was going haywire. There were warning notices going on and lights flashing. So he turned everything off, and him and Aldrin stood there, and he said, I grabbed the stick and I flew it like we used to fly the helicopters in Korea. And they were coming down to a boulder field. Not many people know this.
Right.
They were coming down to a boulder field, a large lump of rocks that NASA had planned for them, but nobody could see those from planet Earth. So he had to dodge that pretty quickly, and they were running low on fuel, and he said, I saw about 100 metres away a flat area, and I aimed for it. And you know what, when they landed that module on the moon, him and Aldrin, when they landed on the moon, they looked back and they had only 17 seconds left to reserve fuel.
Wow.
So the whole thing was pretty...
Test pilots are known for cutting it close to the bone,
don't you? That's a bit too close to the wire for me.
That's why they use test pilots. You had to have the human factor up there.
You sure did.
Anyway, hey, there's an alignment coming up. We should be... Well, people say when the alignment occurs, we should be concerned, but not really.
Well, it's not the age of Aquarius, but everything is in alignment. Jupiter's aligning with Mars. Mars is aligning with Venus. What we're talking about here is an amazing alignment of planets. In other words, they're going to be in the same part of the sky together. No, the combined gravity won't cause any dramas here. We won't have any earthquakes or tidal waves. You'll see Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter and Saturn all form a line leading out from the horizon starting from next week. A week after that would be better. The time to avoid here in August, the time in August to avoid it was the 18th. Because on the 18th we got a full moon. And we just don't do much astronomy on a full moon because it's not only the worst time to look at the moon, you've got too much glare hitting your eye, but it also washes the sky. There's a big air glow there. Mm. So the week before the 18th, and certainly the week or two after the 18th, you're going to see a beautiful sight in the evening sky that we won't see till October 2018. And a good time to get the telescope out.
All right, time to buy one. Have a look at your website, daverenicki.com, to find out details on that. Now, making news this week has been this supposed giant hole across the sun. Got a few people concerned, Dave?
It has, but there's no need to be concerned because this is just a normal progression of a star. NASA have released footage of a giant hole spreading across the sun. It's about a quarter of the size of the surface of the sun, which is pretty big. And what it's doing is allowing some of the sun's heat and energy to escape into space. We call this a coronal hole. Is it unusual? Not really. Does it happen quite often? Yes, it does, but not to this extent. It doesn't pose any risks to us here on planet Earth, you and I walking around, your listeners. But airline companies do have a bit of a worry with this because it can knock satellites around and it can cause power stations to overload momentarily. But what it is doing at the moment is providing some really amazing aurora down in Hobart way. We've got big sunspots too appearing on the sun. So for some reason this week, Bilko, the sun seems to be ramping up. And again, there's no need for concern, but it is a great time to get outside. You're probably experiencing a little bit more warmer weather at the moment.
Yes, very nice. Look, this week is all going to be awesome, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're going to get more of that because the sun does drive our weather to a degree. This aura, this halo, the envelope of the sun expands out further and further. And as it does, it gets hotter and hotter. So it heats up the troposphere, which is the atmosphere above the Earth. And the upper layer being warm keeps the heat in on the planet. That's why we have a little bit of warm weather at the present time. But it's not a danger. The sun is getting pretty active at the moment. And if you have the means to do it, you can view the sun with proper filtering. But I would avoid looking at the sun under any circumstances unless you know exactly what you're doing.
I love how people think if there's no sunspots, there's a problem. If there are solar flares, there's a problem. Anything that shakes up the sun from its normal behaviour, people start getting panicky. But, we move on. Hey, by the way, with the Juno mission now, did I see something about they've discovered the actual red spot on Jupiter is getting a tad smaller?
Yeah, it's getting smaller. It also seems to be decreasing in redness. It could be that this thing is dissipating. And when I say this thing, this turns out to be, or sounds like it's a big tornado, maybe a hurricane. We don't understand what this giant storm is. Galileo saw it in 1610 when he turned the first telescope on Jupiter. We're going to get a better look at it now with Juno. We're going to find out a little bit more about it. But it would appear that the giant red spot is now a giant orange spot, and it is slightly smaller than what it has been. It could be petering out, but hey, hang on, this could take hundreds of years to peter out.
Yeah, that's right. If it's been going since Galileo discovered it, it probably was going centuries before that anyway. So,
More than likely.
Probably about time it winds down. Hey, this other story, apparently they're seeing that space is ruining the eyesights of astronauts, and we don't have an answer yet.
No, look, 80% of astronauts suffer from a condition called VIIP, visual impairment intracranial pressure syndrome. And that's a big word for saying that the back of the eyes get flattened. The retinas are pushed forward in your head, and the optic nerve gets inflamed. Now, they've done a study on astronaut John Phillips, who has recently spent 6 months on the space station. They found that his eyesight had gone from 20/20 to 20/100 after the mission. Nobody knows why, what's going on here, but they think it's cranial pressure, a build-up of pressure in the brain in spaceflight due to weightlessness. They've yet to find out a way to try and counter this. So we've got a big job in front of us, exo-doctors, exo-biologists, the people who study the physiology of the human body outside the Earth have got to come up with some drugs here, Bilko, or ideas to try and counter that, because it is a danger, it is a worry. On a long journey to Mars, which is 7 months, we're going to experience the same sort of thing. And it's not new news, because we did know that the early space pioneers, the Mercury 7, the guys that were there before Armstrong came along, we know that they did, in their later years, suffer cataracts. So there's something going on with the physiology of the human body regarding eyesight in space that we don't fully understand yet.
And astronauts are meant to have 20/20 vision to be successful applicants for the program.
Oh, you've got to have that, because you've got to be spot on with your measurements and your judgment up there. You can't be a little bit off, because it's a different world. You've got to have good eyesight for sure. Yeah, that's a prerequisite.
This could be ruining a few careers, Dave.
Yeah, well, it could. You've got to eat your carrots.
Anyway, exactly. Check out DaveRenicky.com. The website's got many more stories, especially about the alignment for August. There's something out of the Kuiper Belt, apparently they've discovered something. So have a look at that too.
There's a whole bunch of new stuff up there. We've got some good stuff. And that picture of the alignment of the planets is on my website. And that's DaveRenicky.com. DavidRenicke.com.
And it's linked up now at Zinc 96. Dave, till next week, sir.
Thanks.